If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Nikola Tesla.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hey there, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. This week, my favorite essential oil is grapefruit essential oil. I've really fallen in love with this little delightful citrus oil this week. A lot of people associate grapefruit with this very happy, joyous, playful feeling. And I've actually heard before that grapefruit, when used as a perfume, makes you appear younger. It's a wonderful oil to diffuse. I highly recommend you experiment with mixing it with maybe some more earthy tones like pine or frankincense or maybe lavender and see how you like it. It's also a really great addition to any sort of DIY skincare product. So you can combine it in like a salt body scrub or just an oil blend with maybe coconut oil and mix it with other skin toning oils like lemon, juniper for a very home-like spa experience, and it just leaves your skin feeling so smooth and glowing and can really help with your body's natural process of getting rid of cellulite. One of the theories behind this is that our bodies actually store the toxins and petrochemicals and whatnot that we have entered into our bodies. These things get stored into our fat cells, because our body, if our liver can't process it, sometimes it doesn't know what else to do besides say, you know what, this is not good for my body. I can tell that this is a danger to my body, like a chemical or something that's toxic. So if I don't know how to process it and I don't know how to get rid of it and I can't digest it, well, I'm just going to store it in my fat cells right here. And then what happens is if you're trying to get rid of those fat cells, if you're trying to lose weight, the body doesn't really want to let that go because it's protecting your body from those chemicals that it has stored in those fat cells. So the theory behind using grapefruit or really any citrus oil, rubbing it onto those areas is it can go in and help the body's process of detoxification of those petrochemicals and whatnot. If you do a little research into the chemical compound D-limonene that is found highly in citrus oils, you'll find a lot of really fascinating information about the interaction between those oils and petrochemicals in the body. Today's interview is with the amazing Candace Covington, and we do a lot of investigation in the world of vibrational healing and essential oil archetypes, which is just a very fascinating subject to cover. I learned a lot. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Before we get to that, of course, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. These are recipes that are submitted by you, our lovely listeners. Today's recipe comes from Amanda in Brampton, Ontario. You can find Amanda on Instagram at Amanda_myoilylife. This recipe is called an uplifting, calming, and balancing diffuser blend. To make the uplifting, calming, and balancing diffuser blend, in your diffuser, add 2 drops ylang ylang essential oil, 2 drops cardamom essential oil, and 2 drops bergamot essential oil. Thank you for your recipe, Amanda. We appreciate it. If you'd like to submit your own recipe to the DIY Dugout, email us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. And quickly, I got a question recently from a listener about how you pronounce bergamot. Is it bergamot or bergamot? So you spell it BERGAMOT. And I've heard it pronounced both ways. So I kind of will use both interchangeably, just depending on how I feel like saying it. I like bergamot, but I think it's more recognizable as far as the spelling goes if you say bergamot. So up to you.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of the life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
I'm here with Candace Covington, who's the author of Essential Oils in Spiritual Practice, working with the chakras, divine archetypes, and the five great elements. She's a certified aromatherapist, healing arts master, and energy worker, a former instructor at Ashmead College in Ayurveda theory and aromatherapy. She is now the primary aromatherapist at the Chopra Center. Candace is the founder of Divine Archetypes, an essential oil company that specializes in the esoteric. She's currently writing You Are What You Eat, a vibrational cookbook for inner traditions, which I love. Candace, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start a little bit with how we left off the vibrational cookbook you're working with. For those unfamiliar with the term vibrational healing, let's just start there.
Vibrational healing is such a liberating concept because everything in creation, within and without, all hold a vibratory rate. And once we can identify what plants vibrate to what specific patterns, we can use those mindfully in our lives to create specific states.
Oh, that's so interesting. Can you give an example?
Toss out any situation of anyone you know that has a goal that they're working on right now.
Okay, let's see. My sister has a goal of, well, she's working on writing a movie script. So yeah, that's her goal.
Okay. So for example, what I think two essential oils or plant allies that would be super helpful for her, one would be Elemi. That plant literally vibrates to as above, as below. And so what happens is that allows someone to funnel information that is out of their own creative continuum, something larger and vaster than even perhaps what they know they're working with. And that helps them bring it into their conscious mind so they can start to work with that energy. And then if she would add, say, for example, a rosemary or a black pepper or a lemon or even all of the three, what that does is that helps to take that information that seems just very muse-like, really, and to break it down into the small component bits that she does that will allow her literally to do all the technical stuff that will allow her to finish the script. So as you can see, each one of those essential oils or plants has a role that would specifically aid her in her goal.
Yeah, and these are, you're basing this off of the vibration of each oil, if I'm understanding this correctly?
Yes, a really easy way to imagine this is all of us have probably seen Dr. Emoto's water slides when you put water in different situations and it literally takes on the shape of the emotion or the thought or, you know, something like that. So that's an example of a blank template being formed by an outside circumstance. So just as water is a neutral template, so basically what it allows us is to give us eyes where we can see when different mediums, we're mostly made of water, and so when we get into different environments, we can see on that water, different shapes are created depending on if it's a beautiful or an unfortunate energy. So that allows us to see a little bit about us seeing in different dynamics in nature, what type of information can be inscribed on us, inside of ourselves. The fascinating things about each plant, you can visualize it almost as they have their own unique shape or pattern. And what happens is when we admix that into our own continuum, our subtle body literally starts to take on the behavior and the shapes. You can think of them as an energetic blueprint. What is so fascinating about being a human being is we come in and out of existence with incredible speed. And so what this allows us to do is to have a lot of flexibility to flow and morph. And that's why as human beings, we're not static creatures. What's interesting about plants is they have a more stable vibration. And so what happens is when we introduce those into our energetic or our subtle body, what happens is our energetic self will start to take the shape or the behaviors or the traits of the plant that we've introduced. And what that does, in fact, is bring about to the forefront of our personality specific traits that we would like to develop. It could be either an emotional trait, a spiritual trait, a soulful trait, or even a mental trait. And then in fact, it will help us to take on those attributes and to behave in that manner.
That's so fascinating. I never really thought about the fact that humans on a vibrational level, we really are just kind of all over the place, like not just on a day-to-day basis, but really just a minute-per-minute basis for most of us. And the fact that plants and I'm sure lots of other objects or living things have a much more stable sort of vibration. And now, is this not the same thing that we're talking about when people refer to like the frequency of essential oils or other things, are we?
Well, I would have to, honestly, this is where language gets slippy. I'd have to have a conversation with that individual to see what they're speaking to, but I would suspect that it's along the same vein. It's just I probably fleshed it out in a slightly different manner.
It's so interesting. It's such an interesting area of science that we kind of know not enough about, you know, like there's so much more work that needs to happen in those areas, and it's all just so fascinating. But referring back to the vibration of different essential oils, could you help us maybe visualize this a little better or maybe give some more examples of what oils have have different vibrations and what that means as far as the usage goes?
Sure. For example, a very classic first chakra essential oil would be patchouli. And everybody's pretty much familiar with that one. And so it's really fun when you start to think about what essential oils resonate with what center, because basically all that means is they put out that same characteristic or that same trait. So it's another way of saying patchouli acts like a first, and it also stimulates the second chakra, acts like a first and second chakra stimulant. And where that comes from is in, if you were to categorize patchouli from an Ayurvedic base, which is my background, it means it was literally produced or came into being from being earth with seed of water. And when you talk about it in sort of these ancient Eastern traditions, they believe the entire universe as we know it collated due to the five great elements. And those are ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And so those are not just the environment we see around us, but those are in fact living dispositions inside of us. And they believe that each element is sort of like the taproot, if you would, like the most primal vibration that we evolve from. And then each one of those elements produce a chakra, and then each one of those two chakras produce a dosha. So it just sort of almost builds the energetic structure or skeleton of a human being, if you would. And so, for example, if you, you know, I'm pretty sure everyone's pretty familiar with what the job of a root chakra is, but if you just kind of feel with me when I tell you some of these patchouli's traits, you'll kind of see why this would be very much a stabilizing force. So some of the key vibrations of patchouli is being unruffled, lucid, gathering personal energy back to self. This is a very self-contained essential oil that gives the gift of being alone within yourself for contentment in a relaxed state, in turn gives rise to having a large energy store so you can get things done. It is very supportive in helping you reach your goals, from clarification of what you desire to have the tenacity to do what is needed to reach fulfillment. This essential oil also helps you overcome fatigue and feeling downhearted. Did that make sense, or would you like some clarification around that?
That makes sense without, you know, going into an entire lesson about Ayurveda and the doshas and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's interesting that I feel like when we talk about essential oils, you could talk about patchouli for, you know, an hour long, which I think we have on the show. And I think we didn't even get into that element of it, you know? So there's so much when we talk about oils and plants and herbs that they do so many things on so many different levels. And I think it's fascinating to look at those different perspectives. But as you were talking about patchouli, I've experienced those things with patchouli, but never really quite had the words or language or, you know, outside validity really to help me understand that, I think. So it's a great oil.
It is. And just back to what you were saying, one of my favorite tenets of working through plants through an Ayurvedic lens is they basically, one of their root texts says, is that each plant has 700 healing secrets. And it's basically a prayer or a petition, you know, for this plant, you know, to reveal all of its myriad nature of how it can support you, you know, on so many levels. And I love what you're saying and the method that you're putting forward here for people, where you give people the opportunity to examine perhaps the same oil and the same plants, but from so many facets. I feel that is such an important aspect of really getting to know our toolkits as aromatherapists and really working with plants. I really like that.
I want to switch gears a little bit and start talking about archetypes, because this is such a fascinating subject that we haven't talked about much on the show before. A lot of your work revolves around archetypes, the roles that they play in creating conscious change in people's lives. So for those unfamiliar with that term archetype, let's just start there at the basics.
An archetype can be understood as an unconscious motivator that leads to behavior. And probably the easiest example that in our society would be recognized as, say, perhaps a god or goddess. So like when somebody says they work with Pallas Athena, or somebody else says they work with Lakshmi, for example, that is a living disposition. And what that means is that when you activate that energy that also already resides in you, it literally, again, molds your subtle self into the behavior where you not only desire to emulate and be like, but you actually merge with and become, and it helps you live out that numinous or that lit with divine or light from the inside behavior that allows you to be an embodiment of that on earth. And so it's very fascinating. In our second chakra, which is produced by the water, that's where the collective unconscious resides within humankind. And within that, it's basically a reservoir of, a nice easy way to put it is a story, because each one of these archetypes, that's what gives them their power, basically, is there's this huge myth or story around them. And so they're living, again, within you already. So all you have to do, if you want to work with them consciously, again, to create a behavior or a life outcome, you can basically call upon and summon, if you would, that archetype more to the surface of your personality. And the more consciously you work with it, the more that's going to manifest in your life and literally open the doors and create the pathways you need to be able to use that as an engine, if you would, to allow you to manifest very specific outcomes.
And these archetypes, where do they come from? And is it a religious sort of platform that we're sort of calling these archetypes forward, or is it beyond that?
Oh, beyond. It's every culture that has ever been since the inception of humankind. That's actually what makes it very fascinating. A lot of times they're actually called primordial images when they've been made conscious. So like when you hear people talk about working with gods and goddesses or guides, have them be animal or deity or any of those, they have been made conscious already, and that there's a very unified vision usually of that behavior because they have been around culturally for so long. So some of those come from a specific religious background, and then some of them are what we would consider by some dead religions at this point, or some would be considered mythology, and some of them are so out of the reach of even our collective memory as a people at this point, but you'll have different images rise up in your sleep that are usually very personal to your specific incarnation pattern, and so you never know what you're going to find, but it definitely is yes and to that question. So it can come from a religious background, but it definitely is not defined to a specific dogma.
Some archetypes, I feel like, unless I'm misusing this just for my memory of thinking about this subject, are just sort of common sense archetypes too, like the Joker or the Crone, the Widow. Are we talking about something? Am I totally off here?
No, not at all. Like the Joker would be considered a trickster, for example, you know, and so depending on what culture you come from might manifest with a different face, you know, like a coyote is a very traditional trickster god, you know, the crow in some tradition is considered a trickster. And then a Nazi is considered a spider trickster god with very interesting human traits. And so
I thought you said a Nazi for a second, like, that's quite the archetype there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, no, not that one. No, he's a West African spider god, to be clear. So yeah. And then the Crone, which is my almost favorite topic ever to explore, you know, the vastness of her. I mean, there's everybody from, you know, Hecate to Paulden Lamo to Lilith, you know, within that, they all vibrate, interestingly, again, to ether, in that they have a very specific job. Their archetype is not the fertile part of femininity. In fact, it's that the gift to the women where she no longer has to worry about being a maiden, you know, which is basically learning a skill, you know, all that juicy part, you know, that brings us to adulthood. And then the mother, where even if we don't physically have children, we're usually caretaking something or another in our life. And then when you move into the Crone, you literally get to just bask in the energy of just universal knowledge. And it is such an alchemical time that's all about exploring of like some of the more magical bits of life. And so each one of those goddesses teach a very specific aspect of that being in Crone. And a lot of it, again, really boils down to is how did your soul collate? What are you specifically magnetized to? Because when you choose a general archetype, there's going to be very specific gods or goddesses or animals or plants or even stones, you know, that are within that. And then you just need to find the thread that you specifically delight in. And that's going to help alert you to what is going to help you most on your growth path. And so from there, you just need to identify what are basically the plants that vibrate at, again, the same level of those archetypes. And it helps wake up that interior knowledge in you in a rapid fashion.
So Candace, a lot of the work you do seems to help people get on their path towards their goals or towards their specific desires. So what does that look like energetically when we're aligned with our path or goals?
I love this question because it's one of those ones that seems sort of simple on the surface, but then when you really start to kind of sit with it, it becomes, I think, complexly fascinating. So when you're in alignment with something, you always get that initial just surge of joy because you found something that literally is good for you on a specific level for you to grow into, because it's going to help you grow in so many ways. And so there's almost like this sense of ease and joy when you first step into it, which is, I would say, the divine's way of like sort of getting you, you know, far enough down your path where you see the wholesome nimbus and you want to continue. But then like anything else, if it's a, you know, a long-term goal, this is going to require specific, you know, continuous effort with it. And so this is where I think, again, having the plant allies come in, because sometimes even if it is in complete alignment with your deep self, it's not going to be an easy path. And so it is so wonderful to have as many aids, if you would, along the path to help you really reach the end without it being too difficult or even being stymied or stopped.
Yeah. Can you give some examples of how people can use plants or essential oils on their individual journeys? Or do you have any favorites or that you like to use?
For example, I evolve mostly from water and air. So I spend most of my time thinking basically about esoteric things. And so that's all great and fine, but I also make my living being a writer. And so a big part of that is I have to be able to condense my thoughts enough that I can translate, you know, sort of my general gestalt of understanding into specifics. And my brain doesn't organize like that naturally. So I have to bring in specific plant allies to allow me to do that. And my work combination happens to be kefir lime, which evolves out of air seed of fire. And so what that does is it lets me take vast ideas and basically bring it down to the mental plane. And then it gives me the discipline and the organization, how to line my thoughts out so I can share them. And then also, since I don't have much earth in my makeup, I use the essential oil of galangal, which is earth seed of water. And so what happens is when I use those two together, it basically gives me a cauldron for me to put all my ideas, and it allows me to cook and think, if you would, you know, on a creative level. And then it allows me to basically write or type out my ideas. And so that's a very simple example of how I use essential oils in my daily life.
Yeah. And how, I'm curious just how you apply or where you apply those oils, or do you just put them in your diffuser?
Oh, I love that question as well. Everything I do is very ritualistic and alchemical, because again, the more precise we can get with our tools, through even application and base oils, I think the more precise we can fine tune our body. So for example, since kefir lime leaf essential oil is basically, since we know it's air seed of fire, and air produces the heart chakra and fire produces the third chakra. And so what I do specifically is, and for that one, I like a good fiery base that'll again help organize my mind. So I use safflower base oil when I use kefir lime. And then what I do is I anoint my heart chakra in its yantra or its sacred symbol, which is a circle on my heart, because that really, really impacts that center and opens it up. It's like a lock to, you know, the key to the lock of that. So the more precise you can get with the information you're trying to communicate to different parts of your body, more skillfully your body can respond in return. And then on my third chakra, I would anoint its sacred symbol, which is the triangle. And when I do that, honestly, I would intone its mantra as well that resonates with the element that it was produced from. And then I would put, so that would, for the heart or the air, that would be YAM or YAM. And then for the fire or the third, that would be RAM. And then I would just say that back and forth, you know, as I held my hand over the places where I anointed myself. And then you can just literally feel when your body ignites, you know, and sort of turns on. So I wait for that energy to shift, if you would. And then I know that I'm good basically to go ahead and start on my project.
Wow. You take essential oil usage, personal usage, to this whole other level, Candace. Candace. I love it. I want to come hang out on your farm in Oregon and you can just like anoint me with oils all day and we'll just rock out projects and just live our most beautiful selves, right?
Yes, please.
And you produce your own essential oils on the farm. Is that correct? You're in Oregon?
I'm in Oregon, and that is not correct. I am not that fancy yet,
okay.
but I do grow a ton of plants, and I really love where I live. I live on basically what used to be a Christmas tree farm. And so what happens is that I have all these beautiful type of firs, and then it's been not used for that for long enough that a lot of the companion trees have grown in and all of the little beautiful flowers and mushrooms. And then I cultivate actually quite a few herbs and things of that nature. So this has been interesting for me. Before I moved to Oregon, I mostly studied plants from a completely intellectual space. And so that had been a big drive for me, and especially because I like the more esoteric aspects of it. And so I always giggle that the way I've decided to learn about plants is indeed the Ayurvedic model, where, you know, it starts out in basically ether, and then it took me 40 something years for me to get out here and finally ground it into the physical. And this has been a really interesting learning for me to have such a hands-on experience with the bodies of so many of the plants that I have come to know in their soul form, which I look as essential oils. And so it's been really positive. I do make a ton of, like, I feel like flower essences, vibrational essences are like a nice sister modality for essential oils. So I do make a whole bunch of those, and I like using those two in conjunction, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners do as well.
Yeah, like hydrosols and those kinds of things too. I mean, it's all just all these different methods that we can use to invite plants back into our lives more, which is really one of my favorite things about essential oils, is even for those who don't have any sort of the same understanding as you obviously do about essential oils and the magic of them and the great different ways that we can use them. I think a lot of people sort of, I don't know, give oils a hard time about how popular they've become, right? But on the other hand, I love the fact that they have become somewhat popularized to the point where so many people now are experiencing what you call the soul form of plants in their daily lives, even if on an intellectual level, they're maybe not understanding, you know, every part that's going on. I guess I'm like a populist. I just love that oils and plants are becoming more and more of a part of the everyday person's life.
I could not agree more. I think it's fantastic. It's getting popular, you know, and I mean, I don't think we should ever be grumpy at nature that she found a medium that can appeal to so many people. I mean, endlessly you hear wonderful stories about how people's lives are just so improved by the use of essential oils. I think it's fantastic. When I was a little girl, I grew up in a pretty small town, and I'm just old enough that this definitely wasn't popular when I was a kid. And my mom said, took me into the only health food store in my little town. And she said, and I was young, we're talking grade school. She said, I beelined right over to the only essential oil book in the entire store and just basically begged for her to get it for me. And then after that, I'd ride my bike down, you know, with my little allowance money and have them special order in one after one of the oils for me so I could memorize it and work my way through it. So,
wow, that's so cute. I love that.
But I'm so lucky that my mom took me there, you know, just that little happenstance. I'm glad now that, you know, basically anybody who wants to have a deep relationship with nature, this is a very accessible, easy way for anybody to be deeply supported by nature. And I just want to say one thing that I deeply believe about nature. I remember when I had this epiphany, just what a relief it was. There is nothing in the human condition, maybe outside of the physical, that plants cannot be an ally to and help us basically work out. And there's something so reassuring and relaxing to feel like you're that much, you know, just embraced by nature, that if you do have something going on at an emotional level or a spiritual level or a mental level, there really is going to be, you can call it an antidote, a vibrational remedy, you know, a dear friend, however your soul likes to interpret it, there will be a counterpart in the plant kingdom that will allow you to move through whatever situation that with is with the most grace as possible. And there's something just profoundly reassuring about that for me.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And it's such a beautiful thought to have and to walk around with that knowledge and that confidence and to share it with others. Is so beautiful. So thank you so much, Candace, for all the work that you do to help people with that process. I wish that we had another hour. We could talk and talk and talk. I have so many questions I want to ask you. We'll have to have you back on the show. But before we run out of time, I'd love to ask you our closing questions. And the first is just give us a little glimpse into what your daily health habits look like.
Well, mine's not shockingly pretty plant-based. So first thing, I get up in the morning. I do have a meditation practice. So I sit for my 20 minutes, do pretty light yin-based yoga. And then before I get into my day, my favorite part is I basically have all of my essential oils set out in my office and I leave enough of a gap with them and I never put them in order. That's very important to me because what I do is I shake out my left hand and I always set the intent and I ask, you know, basically what energy will most support me in my day? And then that way, I am not telling my plants what I want them to do for me. I'm asking my essential oils what to alert me to what I need to be the best person I can that day. And then I just run my hands over them the way that you would use any divination tool. And I feel for the three with the strongest vibration. Sometimes it's more or less, but that's my general intent. And then I take those and then I read. Once I, you know, see what the three oils are, I just read them like a sentence. Because once you get an intimate relationship with your essential oils, you pretty much pick it up and you know in a flash, you know, like everything that it can do for you. And then you just take inventory with what you have going on in your life. And it not all, I call it an oracle, an antidote, because not only does it alert you to maybe something I didn't even know was going to happen later in the day, but it energetically gets me into alignment where I can move again through that with as much grace and beauty as humanly possible. So that's I never ever start my day with that part.
That sounds beautiful. Well, finally, Candace, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
Oh, I would say get rid of something synthetic and bring in something more nature-based.
I know nowadays that's easier than ever. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes, I know.
Well, Candace, you've just been nothing short of marvelous on the show here today. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your wisdom with us all here. If someone wanted to learn more about you or the work that you do, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can pick up my book, of course, Essential Oils and Spiritual Practice. And then I have a really educational website, which is divinearchetypes.org. DivineArchetypes. And also shoot me an email. I'm doing a pretty big summer teaching circuit. So if you're curious about having something more hands-on and in-depth in your area, let me know. And I might actually be coming there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Candace. I will put all of the links you just mentioned in the show notes below so people can easily get in touch with you. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find our show notes below wherever you're listening to this podcast or on our website, revolutionoilspodcast.com. We'll see you here next week where we'll be interviewing the Herbal Academy's herbal mentor and ambassador talking about the intersections between herbalism and essential oils. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.